It's Friday night.
Time to play some cards.
You walk into your favorite poker room.
There's a seat open with your name on it.
On your left, Chris Cosenza.
On your right, Scott Long.
It's time to ante up. Broadcasting from Ante Up Magazine in Tampa Bay, Florida, July 4th, 2008. Ante Up starts now.
Good morning.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Chris, I tell you, I get chills every time I hear that speech.
I love when he's standing on the wing of the plane or whatever he's doing. It's fantastic.
Randy Quaid is all woohooing.
Soon to be dead.
But no, it feels good to be on our own. And,
it does.
You know, keeping the Ante Up thing going alive and wow.
Wow.
For free.
It's amazing how many things have happened to us over the last month or so. And and we're Ante Up Magazine now, but we're still going to give you the Ante Up show that you've loved from the past. And we're new and improved. We're just going to change it a little bit, but we're real excited about this. And we don't know what to expect, but we're hoping that it's going to continue for at least another 3 years.
I'm sure it will.
So for our new listeners who have picked us up on a new feed, we've been around for a while, and I'm sure you heard our little intro that we launched the show with. So we're the publishers of Ante Up Magazine, and we had a nice long run as just bloggers, essentially, and players. But for those of you who are new, welcome aboard.
So, Chris.
Yes.
I couldn't help but notice that we had new intro music.
Didn't you like it?
Shouldn't we talk about this kind of stuff? You just spring this on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were expecting something else?
No, I just, you know.
Come on, we're on our own now. We're rebels. The music's got to reflect that. It's got to be edgier, harder, right?
I like it. I do.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But you know what? I tell you what, finding that music was not easy.
I can only imagine.
And we use the PodSafe Music Network, and which we've used before because the whole copyright thing. We don't want to get in trouble.
Yep.
So here's what I sit down at the computer and I said, all right, I got to pick our theme music. So the first thing I do is I type in the word poker.
Right.
And like two things came up, or three things. And I'm like, these aren't poker songs. It's like, I don't know, like the word poker was somehow enveloped in one of the, I don't know, the names of the songs or something. But some of the music out there, I got to tell you, you know, it's like, you know why the music is free on the PodSafe Music Network? Because it's terrible. You know what I mean? Here, I'll just give you this one's called Poker Face.
Okay.
I don't reveal that I follow you.
Okay, so that's enough of that, man.
Wow, when it started off, I was thinking I was like one of those singing waiters in an Italian restaurant.
Oh, my God. No, you could just imagine, like, could you imagine if that was our theme song? I know, show, you know, of course, it's just ridiculous. So I'm like, all right. Then you start thinking about all the poker terms, you know, that, you know, like raise and, like, I had a song, River, once, Take Me to the River. Remember, I played that for one of the bumpers, so. Yeah. That was kind of cool, but it wasn't really theme music. Like, so then I'm like, all right, there's a song out there called Split Pot.
All right.
At first, I was like,
That's perfect. For
yeah,
us.
I was like, that's what we're doing because we're not just about hold 'em here. Yeah, we're you know, we're players, you know. So I'm like, all right, let's listen to that song, and I'm hoping it's not about marijuana. So let me hear what that says. Can't understand them.
I was thinking it was Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now there at the beginning. Martin Sheen, you know, flowing through the jungles of Nam or something.
You know, and later on, he starts to talk about, like, I'm not going to chase straights anymore or
okay.
something. And so it's actually, there's poker stuff in there.
So he gets there eventually.
I couldn't understand a word he was saying. So I was like, this is brutal. I literally listened to probably the excerpts of 300 songs. That night I was up till like 2:30 in the morning trying to find music, and you know, I actually found here's another one called No Limit. It goes on like that forever. I think I actually made that in GarageBand on my Mac or something. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Wasn't that like in Weekend at Bernie's or something? Or maybe Wild Orchid, you know, one of those movies that has stuff in the background or dancers are going back and forth?
Wild Orchid and Weekend at Bernie's? Yeah. How did you get those two movies mixed up?
You're not
going to
get those mixed up too often, are you?
All right, so I'm not gonna play anymore, but there was...
Thank God.
There was another song on there by White Elephant.
White Elephant.
And they actually did a cover of Crazy Game of Poker.
Oh, very good.
But it's terrible.
Okay.
So, I don't know. As a spoof, I may use it for the hand of the week someday or something. Just to joke around, because what are they going to do? Sue us? We didn't do the music, you know? But, yeah, it's pretty bad. It's really bad. It's like some guy in the background going, hey, hey, you know, I mean, it's like nothing to do with the song. I don't know. It's pretty brutal, but but so we settled on that song, and if you want to know the name of it, it is by a band called Dreamline, which called to me because that's one of my favorite Rush songs. Yeah, by the way,
yeah. And I mean, Dreams is my favorite song from Van Halen.
Van Halen. Oh man, I love that song.
Yeah. Van Hagar, actually.
You're a Van Hagar? Yeah, you're a Van... Are you a Van Hagar guy, though, or are you just that song?
No, yeah, I'm firmly in the very small minority of Van Hagar fans.
I loved Van Hagar. and anyway, the band is called Dreamline, and the song is called, I think, Universal Domain or something like that.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, it spoke to me. Everyone out there who's new to the show today, yeah, I'm a huge Rush fan, so that spoke to me. So that's our theme music for now. It may stay, it may go, who knows, but we're not hit it anymore.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on, baby.
All right, so speaking of moving on, let's talk about some poker, all right?
Yes, let's do poker.
All right, so we got a great email from a listener, Paul in St. Louis. Great town. I was there about a month ago.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty interesting topic that I've never heard of. But he was playing in a 1-2 no limit game at Harrah's Casino in St. Louis.
Yes,
I never made it up there, sadly, when I was there because
sad
had to drive a little bit.
Very sad.
But yeah, so he's in the middle of a hand and he's watching these two players play, and so a guy verbally declares all in. This initial raiser instantly calls, shows pocket kings, and the last card is turned over. His top set is the nuts.
Right.
And then, all of a sudden, the guy who declared all in, they realize he's never pushed his chips into the pot. All right, he's just sitting there. You know, that happens all the time, right?
Yeah, because they all in. Yeah, all in, I call, and then you settle up later.
And so he says this guy just sits there holding his cards face down on the table and staring strangely.
Staring strangely.
He says this goes on for about 2 minutes. This is where I think it's funny. I'm like, dude, the hand's over. Let's get moving.
That's weird.
But apparently this goes on 2 minutes, and he says it looks like the wheels in this kid's head are turning in an effort to figure out how to get out of paying his bet. Punk kids out there. One of the guys starts to get a little agitated.
Uh-huh.
I would have been agitated.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm a cool customer.
I'm like, give me the chips.
And tells the dealer to get him his chips. it says the dealer responds, I can't take a player's chips. And so then they said this kid that's sitting there meekly says, I just called his bet.
What does that mean?
So they call the floor over, of course, because you know the floor is going to get involved.
Of course.
And he gets the story, as you know a good floor does. And everybody at the table says that this kid did declare all in. So he instructs the player to show his hand or muck his cards.
Right.
So the kid just keeps sitting there. Security shows up. The kid racks up his chips, walks to the cage, and cashes out.
Oh, man.
Total of welches on the bet.
Oh, man. Well, I always wondered what would happen if somebody did that. Because I always thought, what could they do to you, I guess, except from ban you from the casino? I mean, wow.
Yeah, so it goes on, and he says the casino took written statements from everybody at the table, which were required to have the player barred from the casino through the State Gaming Commission.
Uh-huh.
Paul says they were told that the Welcher was later arrested and issued a summons to appear in court.
Oh, really?
And then released. So the winner of the hand never got paid that money, I'm guessing.
Right.
And they said they were told that the chips are owned by the casino, and once they're put in the pot at the center table, that they cannot take chips from a player.
Right. So does that mean that you think the casino paid him off, though? The casino said, we're sorry that we, you know, it's our operation.
It says he never got paid off, so maybe they made us think about it later. I mean, it's probably good PR for the casino to
pay him off.
I mean, this is a 1-2 no limit. We're talking $80 or something here.
But you also don't want to encourage this behavior either.
Oh,
exactly. You know?
Exactly. But Paul says the lesson here is from now on, when somebody says all in, he's going to ask the dealer to pull the chips in.
Smart man.
And you hate to be a jerk about that kind of stuff, but that'd be the worst thing to happen. You play your hand correctly, get somebody to go all in when you have the best hand,
and you don't get anything for it.
And then they're like, you know what? Sorry. I'm gonna take my chips and go out and ban me for the casino. I'm on vacation. Who cares?
I had my fingers crossed. We did no trade backs or no, you know, whatever the hell that is little kids say. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You know, poker is such a weird game.
I'd go over the table after the guy.
Yeah, and Paula said he thought that there were going to be some people that did that. I can't imagine some of the tables I've been at that people would have been as patient as it seems like. Of course, it sounds like security came over pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But geez, I mean, what a surreal thing to happen.
That is unbelievable. I've often wondered what would happen, because I've thought about doing it myself, you know.
Yeah, I'm
no,
sure you have.
No, but I often wondered, if, you know, what do they do if you don't pay? I thought it'd be much worse than that. I thought they would take him in the back room and rough him up and take his money or something. I mean, they've come a long way then, because, you know, they used to do that, you know. Or, you know, you see those video surveillance when they see a guy stealing.
Yeah.
This is essentially the same thing, isn't it? And they're letting him get away with it. I mean, it's essentially stealing the pot from this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why didn't they tackle him like they do in those video things and kick his ass?
Get that little vice like, you know, Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro used in Casino.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. But
well, you know, it also speaks to a part of the problem in live poker is the whole verbalization and thing. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, I noticed some casinos now for cash games are using the all-in buttons and throwing it. So, I mean, that would probably help because that would clarify, you know, the guy, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't say all in, and you could probably resolve it before the hand finishes out. But
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you know what the solution to this is? Poker tech tables. Right? If they go all in on the poker tech table, they can't, like, you know.
Right. You can't steal those virtual chips back.
Right. You can't reach into the computer tube.
I guess you can pick up the entire table and walk to the cage.
Even then, there's no money in the table. You know, the money's on the card, so you're screwed either way. But that is the answer. You can't go all in without losing the money.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man. That is unreal.
All right, Chris. Every time I'm in Vegas, I like to pick up some of the magazines that are out there, particularly, you know, because we have a magazine now, and hope people pick it up as too well when they're in town.
Yes, please.
But I picked up an issue of Poker Player. This has been a little bit ago, but the advice in it, I think, is still very good. And, you know, they have this columnist called the Omaha Guru.
Yes.
And for our new listeners to Annie Up, we like to talk about a lot of games other than No Limit Hold'em.
That's right.
And Omaha is one of my favorites.
And it doesn't mean that we don't talk about No Limit. We just like to talk about all games.
Exactly. Yeah. We're an equal opportunity poker podcast.
EOPP.
So the Omaha Guru, Sam Medaro, and I caught this part two of his Omaha column.
All right.
And Omaha 8. And but the last, it's a very good column, but the last part, I think, is what we could talk about. So, you know, he summarizes all these rules that he's come up with on how to play. And he says, so what have we learned? Without an ace, a pair, or two pairs, with the one exception being deuce, tray, four, or five, if your hand is not double suited, it should be sent to the muck.
I agree.
Very short but powerful advice.
Yeah, very, and it's easy to latch onto. That's what I always love, things like that, when there's a concept you can latch onto very easily and then branch out once you're comfortable.
Exactly.
I love that. That's fantastic. Man, you're so smart for bringing that in. I appreciate that.
Well, gosh, thanks, you know. But yeah, you like that. You like those little tiny tips.
Yeah, I'm going to cut it out and laminate it and bring it to the home game.
Exactly. You put it on the table when you're playing.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to look down and I go, look at the, ooh, and I'm going to like shove my chips in. And you guys are all going to fold. Oh, man. Of course, I don't need a tip sheet to play Omaha 8, but
probably not.
I prefer not to play the game.
But, you know, poker advice is so complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, how many things have you gone through and you start reading something, and that's why there's like 90,000 books out there that are all 300 pages.
Yeah.
Is you start out, oh, here's a simple thing, except for X, 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 X. Next thing you know, you're on page 200. You're like, geez.
Or are they like, I understand that he has possibly this card and that card. So you take that and you divide it by 17 and then the probabilities of, and you start getting all these, and I'm like, I couldn't do that math if I had, you know, a calculus calculator in 2 days. I hate when they do that. It's really simple, they say. And then they I love when they have like the equation with like the fancy, you know, italics letters representing the probable hands and just,
the
you know what?
The cosine and the 90 degree angle and the...
Exactly. Just look at the pot and think about it, right? You know, you look at the pot and say, yeah, that's about right, you know, or that's not, it's too much. And then you fold. I can't handle the, and that's why, you know, theory of poker, still the binding, still, if you opened it right now, would go on my, because I've never gotten through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. He loses me after like the third page.
Exactly. But we need more of these little tiny tips.
Yeah.
Just to give you a base.
Yep. Just to make it easier for you.
Like you said, you can adjust as you know the base.
Because we know a lot of people out there are still clinging to Hold'em, yep. Thinking it's the greatest. And, you know, eventually you're going to find out that there's other things out there. You know? You don't just want vanilla. You want Rocky Road. You know? You want Oreo mint chocolate chip.
Or cinnamon bun. That's my new favorite Ben & Jerry's.
I've never had that. Is that good?
It's very good.
How's that Cherry Garcia?
I don't like the Cherry Garcia.
You don't like it? I've never had it.
I don't usually like the fruit in my fruit flavoring in my ice cream.
Like fruit?
No. Well, I like fruit and I like ice cream. I just don't like it together.
You don't like them together. Yeah. That's true. I mean, I like broccoli and I like chocolate, but I'm certainly not going to melt any chocolate on my broccoli.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I might like the Garcia flavor. I just don't like the cherry.
The cherry. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's
the cinnamon bun. Run out to your nearest Ben & Jerry's and get that.
All right. Well, for our new listeners, we have a thing that's called the Annie Up Hotline. And for the next few weeks, we're probably going to have a few clips here and there. But we may be tailoring the hotline in the future. But right now, it's ringing, and we got to answer it. Someone is all a Twitter.
Hey, guys. It's Mike from St. Louis, V. Kent on Full Tilt. Hey, I was catching up with the episodes recently and really came across some interesting perspective from you on Twitter, and I wanted to kind of put my two cents in. I think you really got it wrong as far as what Twitter is about and how you use it. It's not about telling people that, I'm at work today, or I have to go to the bathroom or something like that. That's really kind of missing the point of Twitter. Think of Twitter as kind of the virtual Annie Up water cooler. There's a lot of conversations that happen around the water cooler with teams that are physically located together, and those conversations don't happen in distributed teams and distributed organizations, and Twitter kind of brings everyone together. Or if you happen to be around the water cooler or, monitoring Twitter at any point in time, then you can communicate and interact in a way that's meaningful. And in your case, and with bloggers and podcasters in particular, I see it used effectively to communicate and reach out and ask questions of your listeners. At times when you wouldn't have that opportunity. I know you use the forums and the blog to do that, but Twitter can be very effective for short communication and to reach out and say, hey, what do you think about this, Annie Up Nation? And you'd be surprised at how many people are online at that moment and will collaborate and communicate back with you. So, I love your podcast, but there's a reason I listen to you for poker advice and not Web 2.0 collaboration advice. But thanks for the hard work. Thanks for doing what you do every week, and looking forward to the next episode. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Yeah, okay. I still don't get it. Even though he's explained to me, why it's important and good for us, I don't know. I still don't get it.
Well, I'm going to do this. I am going to make it one of my mid-year resolutions.
All right.
To really dig into this Twitter thing.
Okay.
Now we're on our own, and we need all the help we can get the word out.
Okay.
So I will promise to figure this Twitter thing out and find a use for it.
All right, because you're smarter than me. That's why I played the clip so that you would hear it and go and be inspired to figure it out and hook it up.
It's an entire show of inspiration.
It is. It is.
Bill Paxton Pullum, and then and now the Twitter guy. I'm tingling.
Who'd you call the guy? What?
Bill Paxton Pullum. They look the same.
It's just Bill Pullum or whatever. It's not Bill Paxton.
But Bill Paxton's, you get him confused.
I don't. You get him confused.
No, I don't. Get on the web. Lots of people get him confused.
I think it's in your head.
So I
man.
Just say the same. I say the both names. That way I'm sure I got it right.
I think that hat's on a little too tight today, pal. Oh, my God. But you know what? That's not the only clip we have. We have another one.
Excellent.
This one came in last minute.
Hey, Annie Up. This is Ward from Athens, Alabama. Just heard your podcast and really sad to hear that you guys are going to be changing jobs and trying to do something different. One thing I can add about the podcast, since I'm being new to poker, is trying to have a question and answer show about, what a spread limit is, or what a kill pot is, because I still don't know what those are, and you've mentioned them several times.
Well, don't be sad. Don't be sad for us. We're happy.
We didn't go anywhere. I'm right here.
Hopefully he's finding
you're
us.
Here.
Hopefully he's going to download the new feed and hear us. We're not going anywhere. We even said on the show we weren't going anywhere. Don't be sad. Be happy for us.
We did go somewhere. We left the studio.
That's true.
But
you know what?
And now doing it on our own. But
when he
we're
first
still
started,
here.
When he first started talking, though, I got nervous because he was like, I was really sad that you guys are going to go try something new. And I'm thinking, why? What do you know that I don't know? What's going on, dude? What, you know, don't
be
sad.
Could be Nostradamus. He probably knows.
We're not going to do a whole show on this, obviously, because we can answer it pretty quickly. I'll do the spread limit.
All right, you take the spread limit. I'll take the Killbot.
Spread limit just means that if, like, say you're playing stud and it's a 1-5 spread limit, that means that on any street you can bet anywhere between $1 and $5 when you bet. That's really all it means. But if someone bets $2 and you want to raise, you have to raise at least $2. You can't bet like three. Basically, that's all spread limit means. It just means that there's a spread between the amount that you can bet on each street. That's all. It's pretty simple. Not a lot of places deal it.
Yeah. Too bad, because I really like the spread limit.
It's kind of cool, especially, you know, when you could pump it up to five.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing a 1-2 game normally, and, you know, that would maybe encourage some people to fold instead of just one more bet, which is normally what it is for stud. So
it's probably not a good game for beginners to wade into. I mean, get the fixed limit games down, and then,
because,
you know, choosing the bet in spread limit, it's kind of like, it's like that next step. It's like a half step between limit and no limit.
Right. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And then, of course, Killpot.
Killpot. Killpot, it's usually a half kill or a full kill.
What do those things mean?
And that means that it's usually in a split pot game. If somebody scoops, then it becomes a kill pot. And if it's a full kill, the limits double.
Right.
And if it's a half kill, the limits go up half.
Right, a half increment.
So if it's you're playing a $2.4, $4 kill pot game, and it's a half pot, half kill, it goes to 3.6.
Right.
Full kill goes to 4.8.
Now, that's in split pot, but now if you're not playing a split pot game, isn't it where sometimes if they win two in a row?
Yeah, and then with non-split, it's generally, you have to win two decent-sized pots in a row. There's usually some kind of limit on the pot.
Right.
And if it's not, then...
So basically, we're playing No Limit Hold'em, and you win back-to-back monster pots.
Well, it would be No Limit Hold'em.
I mean, whatever.
Limit Hold'em.
Limit Hold'em.
Yeah.
Back-to-back pots, and then they will do the kill thing there.
Exactly.
So it's,
and then usually the person who's killed the pot... has to post a big blind.
A big blind.
Equal to the new higher limit.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Piece of cake. We did it in like 18 seconds instead of a whole show. You know, we should be smarter about that, though. Maybe we should do a whole show on it, you know, try to do more stuff.
Well, we can always branch out.
Yeah, that's true.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the broken seesaw. Once again, it's early in a multi-table tournament. The field is wild and loose. It's folded around to the button, who makes a standard 3x big blind raise. The small blind folds, and the big blind, me, looks down at, wow, two aces. In this type of instance, I see little value in raising to induce a fold. I already have isolation, a big hand, and a small pot. But just to build a little bit of a pot, I min-raise him.
Why not tempt him? Eh? Now, he's forced to play.
Pot is 500 when we see a flop of two of spades, five of diamonds, ace of spades. Wow, top set. Yes, I know it's a two-spade board, but I'm not going to lose him now. I check. He quickly checks behind.
Somehow, I don't think he's in a rush.
The turn is the eight of diamonds. Now, I don't see how that card can make him a monster. I decide to set up a river play and just check. He again checks behind.
You guys looking for something?
The river was a two of hearts, and that's a great card because now I'm holding a monster. I'm going to try and make a bet that looks like a simple pick-up-the-pot bet, and I basically bet 400 into 500. After a small pause, the button min raises me.
Now that's a pleasant surprise.
Indeed. Our opponent has 2,000 left, and we have 2,700 left. The last raise was 400, the pot is 1,700. So now I ask you, are you afraid of anything? And if not, how much of a raise will he call?
Okay, so I'd like to go back to the title on this one. If I can. Now, again, this is our first impression, but I think Broken Seesaw is very interesting because that means it's only only goes one way. You know what I'm saying? It won't go back and forth. Right? So they've gone back and forth.
Second level one-minute mystery thinking.
So to me, it seems like he's going to bet too much and the guy's going to fold. That's what it seems like to me. He's going to bet too much here and the guy's going to fold. So he probably needs to bet less. So I'm going to min raise again, and we'll see what happens. That's what I would do. If the guy had quad twos, all the more power to him. Yeah, you know? You know, when the eight came, he said, I can't see that he's making a monster for him, because unless he had pocket eights, really, I agree with that. Obviously, he's not making any straights there or anything, or flushes. So
yeah.
I would do the min raise, because I have a feeling Colombo bet too much. I'm purely guessing, but just by the title. Of course, the title recently has been there to deceive me.
It's a good job of it.
He could just put four-leaf clover, you know, the case of the four-leaf clover or whatever, you know. It has nothing to do with the actual hand. But anyway, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that's what I would do, is min raise back. Because if I shove, I have no more play. And so I would min raise instead of shoving. You?
Yeah, I think he played the hand much more weirdly than I would have.
Yeah, I would have put something out there.
But it seems like it's going to work out for him. So
it seemed fishy to me to check after you min raised to check the flop, unless you had kings.
I'm not a big fan of the mid raise pre-flop, and then I don't like the check, and then the double check. But like I said, it seems worked out for him.
So. Yep. And you know, in the new regime here now, I don't think you and I should be agreeing.
No, that's true.
We need to keep up the whole disagreeing stuff. Right.
Well, we'll spend the week. I'll try to find a way to disagree with you.
Hey, this is AJ Benzing.
This is Justin Bonomo.
This is Downtown Chad Brown.
Hi, this is Clooney Gallen.
This is Daniel Negreanu.
Hey, this is David Singer.
This is Linda Johnson.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer.
Hi, this is Hoyt Corkins.
Hi, this is Cindy Violet.
Hi, this is John D'Agostino.
This is Joe Seabach.
This is Jennifer Harmon.
Yeah, this is Johnny Chan.
This is Cowboy Kenna James.
Hi, this is Mark Safe. This is Paul Wasikin.
Hi, this is Miami Johnson.
This is Dora Brunson, and you're listening to Annie Up.
I always like it when we come full circle, and that's what we're doing today. We're coming full circle, because if you recall, 3 years ago, when we started this podcast venture, we talked about whether or not poker had plateaued, essentially talking about the future of poker. And so today, we're going to do that again.
Yes, we are.
We are going to talk about the future of poker. Has it plateaued? Is there a future? We certainly hope so, because we have just launched a poker magazine and gone out on our own to do this show as well. We're doing the show on our own. We're doing the podcast on our own and the magazine. And so we hope there's a future for poker. But what do you think, Scott? 3 years later.
It's amazing how much has changed in the last 3 years. I know we're talking about the future of poker, but I think just looking back at the 3 years shows you how much it's gone on.
What it's gone through, and it's still there,
yep.
Which only proves to me that there is a future of poker still. Poker is still going strong. It's still going to go, and I think that eventually this law is going to get overturned, and something that makes sense is going to be written, and it's going to be booming again.
Yeah, but, you know, we started out, we were back when 3 years ago, we were playing on Poker Room.
Yeah.
On a Java client.
Yep.
And now, you know, we're playing on Full Tilt and other sites like that.
Yep.
And then we've had this law, the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act, come along and kind of screwed up the market for a while, and the market's kind of readjusted since then, and poker on TV has exploded more. I mean, back then, World Poker Tour was the big show.
Yep.
Now the World Series of Poker on ESPN seems to be taking the lead with their delaying the final table this year.
It's pretty wild.
And wow.
And of course, high stakes poker with its ups and downs, and hopefully back again. And you know, World Poker Tour going from Travel Channel and going through what, 6 dozen hostesses or whatever, and then moving over to GSN. Now their fate at GSN is up in the air. And it goes through so many trials and tribulations, but yet it's still there. And 3 years later, what are we doing? We're launching a magazine because we have faith in the poker community and in the poker, the game itself. So I think it's plenty of future.
Absolutely. Let's start. I want to talk about the delayed final table, because I think that's the big thing coming up.
Again?
Okay.
Well, you know what? It's in the future. So it is definitely the future of poker.
Very good.
All right, so what?
Well, because I've been reading more and more pros are coming online with this. I mean, Phil Helmes did an article in USA Today recently saying that he likes it too. And so, you know, the whole idea behind this for Harrah's, I think, is to raise the profile of the signature tournament of poker every year, by giving them 117 days to whip the nation to a frenzy. Now, we've already talked about how maybe that's not going to happen. Maybe that's how tough that might be. But at least I think there's going to be a lot more publicity out there for it.
Sure.
So since Jeffrey Pollack's come on board, they seem to be really pushing the whole World Series brand. I mean, it's amazing how big this brand is now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is you love having someone, or at least someone who owns the World Series, thinking ahead like this and trying to better our sport, for lack of a better word. And, you know, in the old days when they did it, they had six guys playing the World Series, and, you know, Binion was good about it. I mean, he was pretty rigorous with trying to get people to come to his casino and stuff, but nothing of this magnitude.
No, geez.
You know, I mean, like he said, I think Pollock has been quoted as saying, you know, he'd love for it to be like NASCAR where he came from and have everybody wearing all these logos all over the place, you know, whereas on the World Poker Tour, everybody be covered in black tape if they try doing that, you know. The World Series seems to embrace, hey, this is what poker's about. It's about, you know, people exploiting their, you know, their products and or whatever, and not exploiting really, but yeah, advertising. And it's just about making more money. It's about, in you know, making the economy better and making the poker economy better. And they recognize that.
Well, think of it this way. I mean, Jeffrey Pollock came from NASCAR, and he talks about that all the time when he's on our show, that, you know, and that's a perfect model for this. I mean, you think of NASCAR was regional, you know, maybe even a decade ago or more, and now it's national because they've gone this route. And bringing in all these extra sponsors, as you said, encourages more of those type of companies to form. I mean, that's part of the reason we're doing what we're doing, is that there's a market out there now. And so, you know, the more exposure those places get, you know, it's amazing to me, too, how many little things that the average recreational poker player gets now. I mean, you think about when our dads probably played poker, you know, down at the kitchen table with the cigars and the, you know, and the Pabst Blue Ribbon. And all they needed were, like, you know, a deck of bicycle cards and those little plastic crappy chips from Walmart.
Yeah, right.
Not Walmart. I don't know what it was.
Back then, dude.
And that's all they needed. But now, you know, you go to home games, people bought, you know, nice elaborate tables and chairs.
Clay chips.
I just ordered new chairs for us.
Yeah.
And you got, clay chips. And now you go in and you can get your own personalized chips.
And using the same deck of cards 3 years later.
Yeah.
Whereas back then you used one deck one night and they were 4.5 inches thick by the time you were done and you threw them out.
You got things like the DB dealer button that we use now to keep the timer. You got software for tournaments you put on your laptop.
Right.
And that's just for the home game.
Yeah, now, that's just a home game.
Think about, you know, now you go online and you've got all these the poker sites and you got Poker Tracker and Card Runners and all these software programs that help you improve your game or, you know, monitor other people. Wow.
Yeah, and I think online poker, I mean, it's just, there's no way it could go away. It's just too big. Too many people are doing it. Too many countries are doing it. It's just, it's never going to go away, no matter what the government tries to do. And as long as that's around, people are going to play. And as long as they're playing, there's going to be a need for other things to do in poker when they're alive, too, as well. And just going to continuously grow, I think.
And, you know, the competition in online poker, too, is really spurring some stuff, too. I mean, I think back when we used to play, there was like a bunch of little sites.
Right.
And they were all fighting over. Now, you know, there's been some shakeout, obviously. There's some the big players, and then, of course, it's going to be really tough for some of the new upstarts to get into the market. But the big ones are really innovating constantly.
Right.
I mean, every time I sign on to Full Tilt, I'm downloading new software.
Yeah.
And then we got new knockout tournaments or, you know, heads up or, you know, all kinds of innovative different kinds of tournaments or cash games. And it's and PokerStars and Doyle's Room and all of them are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the internet, too, and software, is that you can always adjust it and change it to make it whatever you want it to be. And if somebody's clamoring for something, they can adjust. And as long as they keep meeting the needs of the people, it's never going to go away. I'm excited for the future, you know. I think that, you know, poker magazines are really important right now. I think they're the future, especially here in Florida. And, yeah, I just think that it's definitely not, and I don't think it's plateaued either. I think that as long as you have something like the World Series out there that's constantly trying to make it better and the online places trying to make it better, I don't think it'll plateau. I think it'll constantly go up. You know, it's always gone up. Poker's been around forever, you know. So I, you know, thinking back to 3 years ago, I still agree with what we said then that, you know, there's just always room for something else in poker. And I think they'll always try to fill that room.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Well, I think it looks good for us.
Yeah,
and all of our poker players out there.
And, you know, I think this main topic was actually longer than our entire show 3 years ago. We did all right. All right, let's move on to Hand of the Week.
This is Lee Childs, 2007 main event, 7th place finisher, and you are listening to Annie Up.
We're back to good old-fashioned No Limit Hold'em this week.
Oh, good.
Small stakes, No Limit Hold'em.
Good.
It's a quarter 50-cent blind home game.
But it's like No Limit Hold'em, quarter 50-cent. You know, that could still escalate.
Absolutely.
Well, it depends on what the buy-in is.
You got $12,000 on the table.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the blinds are.
I love it, too, when they don't have caps in the home game. We have caps a lot of times, and
yeah,
I hate that.
Yeah, well,
we're
trying to keep it friendly.
Either you're going to go home or you're going to double up. That's the way it should be.
All right, this hand comes from John Croker Hare. We met him at the
last meetup.
Last year.
Yep.
So, all right, so he says he's been playing with the opponent in this hand in home games for nearly 2 years, and I have a good feel for his tendencies.
Good.
He tends to lead into the pre-flop raiser on the flop when he connects with top pairs and good draws. If he flops a huge hand, he tends to slow play and spring his trap on the turn.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
When he catches a big hand on later streets, he tends to take the lead and forego trapping.
Okay.
All right, we got a good profile here.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
His bluffs tend to be sized on the bigger than necessary side, and his value bets on the smaller than optimal side.
Okay.
He and I have seen a lot of strategy discussions, and his game has been gradually improving over time. And he says he's finally broken his friend of the min raise. Now we need to break Columbo of it, probably.
Yeah.
All right, his opponent has $61.50.
Okay.
And is in the cutoff. And John, our hero, has him covered barely and is on the button.
Okay.
Folds around to the cutoff, who raises to $2. 4x, right?
That's correct.
All right, so our hero senses a weakness from the raiser and a lack of interest from the blinds. Important. You know, he looked out of the right and the left eyes.
Nice.
That's good.
Very smart.
And he decides to try to steal the pot preflop and race to $6 with jack of hearts, seven of hearts.
Oh, my God.
The blinds fold, cutoff calls without hesitation.
Wow.
Got a pot of $12.75. All right, very first thought.
Our very first thought is that this guy doesn't probably have a monster unless he... I mean, you know, I know, like, Snuffy likes to... in our home game, our friend Snuffy, he likes to... If he has aces in a cash game and he knows he's heads up and he gets re-raised, he likes to just call with them and then spring them later. So they have to keep that in the back of your mind. And like you said, this player does like to trap and then spring it on the turn. But then again, we don't know what the flop is yet, so we're not sure how he plays pre-flop monsters. So, I mean, I'm thinking it's either a good, you know, like a Jack-10 type hand, or it could be a monster, or it could just be a suited ace. Those are my three. Like I said, I'm trying to narrow it down based on what he said about this guy. But what do you think?
Well, I'm a little I'm worried going to the flop that he would call a $4 raise.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
If he didn't have an optimal hand.
Yeah. Because, you know, yeah. I mean, unless he's got one of those types of hands he thinks he's going to bust somebody with.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so it could be a suited connector type hand.
All right, so remember we have jack of hearts, seven of hearts. Flop comes to jack of clubs, jack of diamonds, six of clubs.
Hmm.
Exactly the kind of flop that I think we wanted.
Yeah, either that or we wanted hearts.
Yep.
But yeah, that's pretty sweet. But again, if the guy has jack 10, and
yes,
those are the case jacks, we're screwed.
Not good then, yes.
Yeah.
All right, my opponent checks to me. I bet $8.
Okay, so now here's the thing. Now, if he just calls, we know we're in trouble. Because... what could he? He couldn't be drawing to anything with that.
Nope.
There's nothing to draw to except a
nope.
flush, and really, he's probably going to check raise with a flush, a draw, or he's got jack 10. He's going to slow play and spring it on the turn. So,
or if he thinks we're stealing, he'd probably raise here too.
Yeah. So we're going to find out right now what this guy does here. If he just calls, I'm not that happy about having three jacks, but so we bet eight.
We bet eight.
Into a $12 pot, so that's
yep.
a three-quarters of the pot. So what does the guy do?
He calls quickly.
Calls quickly.
Yes.
Sometimes a quick call means a flush draw. That's,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Sometimes
yeah,
it means that.
Be.
But a lot of people will check raise with a flush draw, especially if it's a nut flush draw. So, I don't know. The call could mean jack 10 and he's, or something like that, ace jack. And
yeah, I would think if I had a flush draw here, I might want to raise because, you know, we get re-raised pre-flop. I mean,
right.
What is he re-raising with? Do we really think he has the jack, unless it's like ace-jack?
Right.
I'm not too worried about that, so I might re-raise, and then if I get called, I got the out to the
to the flush. That's what I was saying, the check raise. That's what a lot of people check raise with their nut draw to the flush or with an open-end straight draw, you know, and then try to take the pot down right there, and if not, they have outs. The semi-bluff, the old super system semi-bluff thing, or Sklansky.
All right, well, Croker is, you know, he knows his player well, so so the pot's 28.75, and he says he thinks if his opponent has a better jack, he expects him to lead the turn.
Yeah, which is what he was talking about leading to before.
Exactly. So anything other than 6-6, I expect him to check, and for him to call with any pair in two clubs, any sometimes ace-king or ace-queen.
Okay.
6-6, he expects a lead or a check raise.
All right, so he's obviously putting him on. Well, he's waiting to the turn. Yeah, nobody puts him on. So
he's going to narrow it down with the turn back.
Yeah.
All right, the turn brings an offsuit tray for a board of jack-jack 6-3.
Yep.
Two clubs still. And his opponent checks.
All right, so he checked, so he didn't spring into action there. And if his dossier of this player is legit, then he doesn't have a monster. He could have a draw. I mean, or he could have his own pair, you know, like eights or something like that. So I don't know. I'd have to bet again, I think. I mean, I may be comfortable checking here because there's really only one draw out there, and it's a club draw.
Yeah.
You know, and if you got a good read on him that he is drawing with clubs, and the club comes, then you make a decision later. So I might check here. You know, the pot's kind of, and it's playing 25 cent, 50 cent, and you've already got a $30 pot.
Pretty big pot.
Yeah, I might check there.
Croker bets $20 and is called quickly again.
Jeez. Maybe he has aces, this guy. You know, he thinks his aces are good.
All right, pot's at 68.75. River's the ace of diamonds.
That could be a good card for us.
Flush does not get there. All right, so without hesitation, the opponent pushes all in for his last 27.50.
You got to call. I mean, you can't fold now. There's $60 out there, yeah. And it's only a $20 bet. You have to call, regardless, you know. If he had pocket aces, he wouldn't have shoved. He would have made a value bet, probably. Unless he's got you as a dead ringer for a jack in your hand. But, yeah, you have to call. I mean, what are you going to do there? So I'm assuming he's asking us what we would have done earlier, maybe, to change it up. Because how could you fold for $20 more after you've just put, you know, there's $68 in the pot now. So, all right.
Well, this is what he's thinking. He said he wondered if he fell into a well-executed trap that breaks from this player's norm. From his baseline, I can't put him on a hand that makes sense. He should be doing this with 6-6 or ace-ace. But I don't think he's following the line he's followed with either of these hands. A bluff seems unlikely for a couple of reasons. First, I've never seen him bluff the river with an all-in bet. Second, this seems like an awful board to bluff at. When I have represented the flop trips or an overpair, the whole hand will lay down only the overpairs.
And thirdly, there's too much money in the pot. A $20 bet shouldn't get somebody with three jacks to fold. So there's a third reason that he probably isn't bluffing here. But again, I think the guy may be putting over value in his whatever hand he has. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. He could have ace-jack, but why would he shove with ace-jack? Wouldn't he want to get paid off with like $10 or something, you know?
Very good point. All right, so Croker asked him if he would show his hand if he folded. I like that play. Actually, I don't like that play.
Never works. No one answers that question, and no one ever says anything in our home game.
But his opponent was quiet at first, and then after a short pause, offered to show because, quote, it would stimulate conversation.
That's what he said?
Yes.
Oh, that's a classic line.
Isn't that nice? I like that. So now, you know, Kroger's like, what could he have that would stimulate conversation? Bluff or a mediocre jack?
Yeah, I don't think a mediocre jack would stimulate conversation. Right.
In the end, Kroger decides that he's either bluffing or has a better jack.
That's a great line because I have to call now to see what would stimulate conversation.
So Kroger folds.
I would never fold there.
And true to his word, his opponent showed his hand, ace of clubs. Eight of clubs.
Didn't I say the ace was a good card for us on the river? Didn't I say that? The ace was a good card for us on the river because he was drawn for the flush. Wow.
Yep.
Chalk one up for the new regime, baby.
Yep, and Croker says, I flat out got outplayed.
Yeah, there's no, how could you fold for $20 more, but there's only, you know what I mean? It's a cash game, too, so you rebuy.
It's a quarter, 50 cent. Yeah, well, yeah, but still, you're talking huge limits there. I mean, you're right. Mathematically, you should. But,
$70 and you have trip jacks?
But in
and
the real
ace now
world,
for a better kicker?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whatever. I mean, improves your hand. But, yeah, I couldn't fold there. I assumed he had a flush draw, but surprised he didn't raise with his nut flush draw, check raise. But the quick calls, yeah. Like I said, flush draw, quick calls, a lot of people have a flush draw and they call quickly. So, wow, another good hand, and Croker to man, you know, He was fun to play with out there. His wife is the one who took the picture of us absolutely. That was on the block.
Yep.
Excellent. All right, Scott, it's good to have our brand new show in the can.
Yep, and spread the word, all you out there. We need all the listeners we can get.
That's right, and don't forget, go to AnnieUpMagazine.com to check out all the latest happenings in our world and around the poker world and, of course, around Florida poker. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we will see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of Annie Up Magazine and is edited by Chris Cosenza. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. It's Friday night.
Time to play some cards.
You walk into your favorite poker room.
There's a seat open with your name on it.
On your left, Chris Cosenza.
On your right, Scott Long. It's time to ante up.
No. Take two. We got to have enthusiasm, I think.
Yes,
we do. You know, cool, but kind of louder and enthusiastic.
Do you think that the doing it together at the end is going to be hard?
Yeah. Let's not do that.
Do you just want to do that line?
Let's see. Yeah, because then you'll do Scott, so then I'll come back and say, it's time to ante up.
That might be better.
All right. Let's try that. Here we go. Yeah, you think we've done this before, but...